Hallelujah. Thanks, Val. Amen. That was a worship service conducted by the Holy Spirit. Everything flowed. Everything linked. Linked in with my message as well, which is good. It's always nice to know when you're about to teach. And I was going to define the word charis during my message, but wee Michelle stole my thunder. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our service so far. Thank you through your word that says where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. We thank you for your awesome presence, Father. Thank you for those leading us in worship. Thank you for everyone sharing, speaking out what the Spirit put on their heart. Thank you, Father. And thank you for your word. Thank you that we're now going to gather around your word. Focus on your truths. Amen. Focus on these incorruptible seeds. Seeds that can grow in our heart and change our lives. So we thank you, Father, for your word. Speak our understanding for everyone listening in here. Everyone watching later. Everyone listening later. Speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Right, looks like most of you are back. That's good. Last few coming in with our coffees. I should have said I could have a drink of juice, but that doesn't matter. I'll last. It's okay. So I started a new series last week. We're on week two. It's easy at the start. Week two. Don't know if I'll remember when I'm on week 13. Week 14, but we'll get there. I did think, I told you, I started Colossians last week, if you remember, and I said it probably won't take as long because there's only four chapters. Well, I did a verse and a half last week, and I'm going to do half a verse this week. I think I'll maybe speed up as we get on. There's obvious verses I need to, I'll just skip over anyway, like the parents not provoking their kids. You know, that's just, I've got two of them this week, so okay. So I might just skip over that one. We'll dwell on the children obeying their parents. But we'll skip over the next one. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I love this working through an epistle. This is rightly dividing the word. So I started working through the epistle to the Colossians. A lot of you liked my encouragement to get your epistles grimy and dirty. If you looked at my Bible, you can see the greasy marks on Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, where my sweaty paws have been putting them over. We're encouraged to spend time in the Word, but encouraged to continue steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine. That's why I preach so much from the epistles. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the first, not command, but the first suggestion in Acts to the new church. Continue steadfastly in what the apostles are teaching you. And for us, that's the epistles. So that's great. Encouraged to steadfastly continue in that doctrine. And I'd been thinking about Paul, thinking about that verse about continuing in apostles' doctrine, and it led me to decide to preach through another epistle. Started last week and I challenged you straight away. Challenged you about your identity. You're all saints, but are you faithful brethren? And that's in certain areas. Are we being faithful to the word in certain areas of our life? So I challenge you about that. Encourage you to stay faithful. Don't go off and have an affair with the world. Quite a few people got that picture. Stay faithful to the word. Stay faithful to what he's said. Stay faithful to his truths. And don't go off and have an affair with the world, with whatever nonsense your friends and family, so-called friends, are saying to you and all that stuff. Stay faithful in the word. The word. Get that right. It's a big difference. Stay faithful in the word. Don't have an affair with the world. Stay faithful to the truths held within scriptures. Don't get involved in an affair with what other people are saying about you. If you've not heard that message, get it. Get on the website, get on Facebook. So, let's read the start of Colossians. I am only going to do half a verse, but I'll read the first five verses again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Remember, Paul's not on his own mission. He's there because God wants him to do it, and he's there because of his authority and his ability through Jesus Christ. And Timotheus, our brother, remember, ministry is not a solo occupation. Life is not a solo occupation. Walking the Christian walk is not a solo occupation. If you try and do it yourself, you'll fail. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Amen. Two words I'm going to focus on this morning, grace and peace. Grace and peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. That's what he is greeting this church with. Grace to you, peace to you. And it comes from God, and it comes from Jesus. I've been meditating on that all week. All week, grace and peace. And the question that Carl shouted at the end, how do we multiply it? I've been meditating on that. It's for you, Carl, answering your question. How do we multiply grace and peace? Now, I think this is quite an important verse, quite an important concept. Here's your question for today. How many epistles is Paul credited with writing? Without using your fingers, Nunzi. I'm joking. Huh? Can you use your fingers, yeah? I haven't got all day, though. Is it? You're asking. Definitely 13, possibly 14 if you count Hebrews. No. Definitely 13, unless I've counted wrong. Oh, I hope I haven't. Anyway, quite a lot. Quite a lot. I just brought it out of the water. But anyway, how many times, let's just say it was 13. How many times, and we're discounting Hebrews now, by the way, because there's still a little bit of debate about that. But in the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, how many times does he greet them with grace and peace? Every single time. Now, we know repetition in Scripture is important, yes? You know, if Jesus says something twice, it's important. Well, if he says something once, it's important. But, you know, when he repeats it, you stand up and pay attention. Some of those disciples, you know, they just didn't get it. And Jesus says something twice. Pay attention, boys. But it's very important. So of all the scriptures that Paul is definitely accredited for writing, he always starts with grace and peace. All within the first seven verses of each book. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Every single time Paul writes a letter, he says, grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's very, very consistent. So the next bit I can probably skip. I was going to give a quick definition of what grace and peace are, but Michelle's done part of my job. But grace is from the Greek word charis. I took it from the other meaning that she said at the end. It's from another word meaning happy, well off, talks of benefits, talks of gifts from God, talks of liberality, pleasure, joy. That's what Paul says he wants us to have from God and Jesus. There's also many other definitions that we have heard explaining what grace is. I think it's Joseph Prince that says grace is free, unmerited favor of God. It's all the good things that God wants to give you, his favor All the great things he has stored up for us, he wants to give it to us. And we don't deserve it. We don't have to do anything for it. It's unmerited. It's free. That's one of the great things about grace. It's free. You don't have to do anything. You've heard me saying forgiveness is a gift of grace. Everybody has received that gift. Not everybody's opened it up, but everybody's received that gift. It's a gift of grace. It's unmerited and it's free. I love that. How many of you get gifts from your family at Christmas and they ask you for the cost of it? Hopefully none. Why? Because gifts are free. Yes? We can understand that concept, can't we? So why do we get so hung up on? We think we have to do something to receive from God. God has free gifts for us. Well, I need to pray, I need to fast, I need to tithe, I need to do this, I need to do that. No. His gifts are free. We just need to receive them, accept them, open them up. Any of you leave any of your gifts at Christmas unopened? No. I open all mine like an ape. Lisa there, who's, how shall I say? I think Lisa opens hers so she can use the wrapping again. But me, no, I don't care about buying, wrapping it. Just rip it, open it like an ape, according to my wife. Never leave a gift unopened. Why do we leave so many gifts from God unopened? Grace, there's an acronym. I used to hear people saying this. Don't hear it so often now. It's a bit cheesy. God's riches at Christ's expense. But it's not a bad one. It's like God's favor. His riches. He's got all these riches that he wants to give us. Like we said before, it's free and merited. So how do we get them? We get them because of what Jesus has done. At Christ's expense. We get them because he suffered on the cross. He took all the judgment. He took our sickness. He took our illness. He took our pain. He took our poverty. He paid for it. It is finished. Been paid. That's what the Greek says. Paid in full. So that's what grace is. Free unmerited favor of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's all about God's goodness and favor towards us. And it comes through Jesus. That's the way I like to say it. It comes through Jesus. From God, through Jesus. And I think that's the most important concept here. Because grace is so much more than just free unmerited favor of God. Grace is so much more than God's riches at Christ's expense. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is grace. Grace is the person of Jesus Christ taking the goodness of God to us. And he came freely. He didn't come once we'd paid certain fees or done however much tithing or, you know, didn't have 5,000 saints interceding before he would do something. You know, it was free. He came and he did it. Grace is Jesus. His finished work provides this grace and what we benefit from grace. Just like Paul says, in every greeting, grace is from God and Jesus. It's God sent him and it is Jesus. That's what grace is. God's intention is to give us all we need. And we'll see in a moment. He's already done that through the finished work of the cross. If you've been sitting there for any length of time, you'll have heard me say that on multiple occasions. He has already done what he needs to do and give us what he needs to give us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have it all already. And peace is the Greek word eirene. The root word means to join. It means peace, quietness, rest, at one. By implication, prosperity. Ooh. The P word, again. Gets a bad rep, that. Yes, I'll take my ticket into heaven. Yes, I may take my healing. But prosperity, that's just wrong. Aren't we all supposed to be another P word, poor? No. Jesus dealt with that as well. So that's what they mean. Paul says these are for the believers, because who's Colossians written to? Us, me, He wrote to believers, so he's writing to us. That's what he says. It's for believers, from God and from Jesus. And it's however many times, however many epistles he wrote, 13, 14, 15. I'll check later.
You're right.
I'm right. Well, you know what they say, guys? It's not often I'm wrong, but I'm right again. So however many epistles he wrote, apart from Hebrews, which is, we're not sure if he's still 100% accredited with it, every single one he uses it as a greeting, grace and peace. So do you think he wants us to have it?
Yes,
of course he does. It must be important. It is God's plan and vision for our lives to have grace and peace and to have it in vast quantities. And he made a path for this through Jesus and his finished work. It's the only way we get grace and peace. It's through Jesus. Turning our eyes onto Jesus, Lyra, fully. Everything is about him. You'll see in a moment. Everything is about him, about Jesus, what he's done, who we are through him, who we are in him. And you'll see we only get that through knowledge of his word. So it's all pretty simple stuff again. But it's God's plan and vision for our lives, and he made a path for this through Jesus and his finished work. And this grace, this unmerited favor, these free riches that he wants us to have, and this peace, this oneness with him, this stillness, this contentedness, they can all be increased in our lives. How do we do that, Vic, I hear you say? Which should have been your question. How do I get more grace and peace in my life? Well, we need another apostle to build upon Paul's revelation. We need to see what Peter said. So go to 1 Peter 1. And we'll read 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So Paul just talks about grace and peace. Grace and peace, grace and peace. Peter says, guys, it can be multiplied. And in 2 Peter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through fasting, praying, tithing. No. My Bible must know. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, in case you missed verse 2, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Here Peter is adding another layer, if you like, of revelation to what we read about in Paul. Paul talks about grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace, 13 times. Peter's saying, I had this extra revelation. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Who's those books written to? Us. That word multiplied is plethuno, unsurprisingly, means to multiply. I love the Greek sometimes. It's quite easy to understand. To multiply, to increase. So that favor we mentioned earlier, the goodness of God, these riches that he wants us to have, Peter's saying they can be multiplied. Now, this can confuse people if you're listening to what I'm saying when we preach grace. We teach that God has done all he needs to do, don't we? He's provided everything that we need. He's provided it all. Yes? How can that be multiplied? If he's provided it all, what the heck are these guys talking about? How can it be multiplied? We teach that God has done all he needs to do, all readily available through the finished work of Jesus Christ. All healing is there. How can that be multiplied? All peace is there. How can that be multiplied? All prosperity is there. How can that be multiplied? Ephesians 1:3 says we already have how many spiritual blessings?
All.
We already have all. How can you multiply? How can you increase all? You can't. So what the heck? What the heck are you talking about, Vic? How can you tell us that God has given us everything and that's grace, and on the other hand you're saying grace can be multiplied? If we have it all already, how can it be multiplied? How can it be multiplied if God has given us it all? Surely, Vic, if we can multiply it, that means God's kept some back. Because if God's given you an infinite amount of stuff, you can't increase that. If you can increase what God has given you, it must mean there's more to get. You're all looking really confused. Can I get where I'm coming from here? I've probably put a confusion in your mind that was never there. I've obviously taught you all so well, but I have had people confused. I mean, somebody speaking to me last week, it was like, Vic, you know, you've told me I'm perfect. You've told me this, you've told me that. But the Bible says that if I'm holy, I can't sin. But Vic, I'm sinning. Really confused. So spirit, soul, and body comes out again. And we go through that conversation. There are apparent confusions, but it's not. If you rightly divide the word, look at different verses, you can see what we're meaning here. See, yes, God has provided it all already. Where's Michelle? When did he do that? 2,000 years ago, give or take. About 14 or 15 years. 2,000 years ago, provided all reconciliation, all forgiveness for all men. That's also when healing flowed. That's also when prosperity flowed. That's also when joy and peace was provided. Abundance, all at the same time. All provided at the cross through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything we could ever need was provided then. But Vic, I'm not living in it. And that's the key. We already have it all once we're born again in our spirits. Where we multiply it is in our body through renewing our mind. The multiplication that we're talking about is the manifestation of his goodness. See, God has provided it all already, but we need to comply with certain spiritual laws, not law. Spiritual laws that have been put in place to see this gift of grace and peace being made manifest in our lives. That's what we're talking about, increase. We're talking about increase in healing in our lives. We have all the healing we'll ever need in our born-again spirit. But there's loads of us in here that need 100% healing in our bodies. We've got absolute prosperity in our born-again spirit. But there are lots of us in here that can't give unto every good work, or all good works, whatever the scripture says. There's some of us in lack. So this abundance, this healing, the peace that we see manifest, the joy that we feel, the acceptance that we're living under, that's what can be multiplied. It's not what God has given us that's multiplied. It's how we receive it and put it in our lives. That is what's multiplied. Every man, for instance, I said there, has been given a gift of grace, of forgiveness and reconciliation. Not every man has opened that gift up and received it. There are things we need to do in order to see this manifest in our lives. Everything is in our born-again spirit. Ephesians 3:24 talks about us being created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. That holiness in our born-again spirit, not false holiness in trying to stop sinning ourselves and using our own efforts and trying to be self-righteous. It's false holiness. True holiness has been born again and created in our born again spirit, and everything is in there. All that richness of goodness, all that things that he's given us through unmerited favor are already in there. They can't be multiplied. That's why we can say God has given us all things. And it's not a juxtaposition with trying to multiply that. He's already given us all things. But it's in our born again spirit. We need to work out that salvation. Get it out of our spirit, through our mind, into our body. Yes, God has provided it all. That cannot be increased. But what can be increased and multiplied is how they operate in our lives. That's the grace and peace being multiplied. You can multiply how that goodness benefits you. How it's made manifest in your bodies. Guys, God has done his bit. Jesus has done his bit. We need to do our bit. Oh, Vic, I thought this was a grace church. I hear you cry. Yes, I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about working to receive, to get God to do something for you. God's already done it. I'm suggesting you renew your mind so you'll see transformation. Use those spiritual laws so that what you've already got inside you bubbles out. And not just for your benefit, but for those around you. Because you can not only multiply grace and peace in your life, you can multiply grace and peace in other people's lives, or help them to multiply that grace and that peace. This is not a works thing. But what I'm saying is there are spiritual laws in place we need to comply with. We know about that. We talk about sowing and reaping, about there being this law of time, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There's things that we should be doing in accordance with Scripture that will see these blessings come out of us and multiply. Do you see where I'm coming from here? How it's not a work, but there are a work as in receiving God's love, receiving God's goodness. That's self-righteousness. It's not that kind of works. But there are things we need to be doing. God has provided everything we need for this life. Health, abundance, peace, joy, everything. Yet, I've asked this a few questions. I'm not going to put your hands up because everybody will put your hands up. Not every one of us is living in 100% health, abundance, peace, and joy. But we have it all. Yeah, but we're not seeing it manifest fully. That's what's multiplied. So why are we not living in everything that God has given us through Jesus Christ? That's the next question we should be asking. Well, we've already read it. Peter has already told us. Peter gives us a simple means, a simple model or method to follow to see God's riches, God's goodness be increased in our lives. It's a simple one. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Simple. Simples, as I've heard somebody say online. There's the key. I really want to say, there's the secret, but I won't. There's the key. Verse 2 is really simple. I don't know how many times I can explain this in different ways. You can increase the grace and peace manifesting in your life through the knowledge of God and Jesus. What's the word knowledge, Vic? Well, it's the Greek word that we all love and know, epinosis. Epinosis. I've not spoken about that for a while. There was a while ago I used epinosis all the time. It's about having full knowledge, experiential knowledge. You could call it real heart knowledge. Dare I say it, it's not the type of knowledge you gain by reading the Bible once. Even in a year. Not that I'm against that, but no. It's not the type of knowledge that you'll gain through a 15-minute devotion once a day. Although I'm not against that. But that's not going to be enough. This type of knowledge is great, is gained by reading through this word many, many times, especially the Apostles' doctrine, studying, meditating, asking the Holy Spirit questions. Even more important than that, what? Listening to his answers. That's a good one. working through good teaching, discussing the word with brothers and sisters, going to Bible school, putting what you read into effect in your life, living by it, understanding it, knowing it. That's epinosis. I'm probably the only one in here who has epinosis about barley. That was a bit sarcastic, Lisa. But there's other people in here who have got epinosis about things that I haven't got a clue about. But we should all have epinosis in the Word. I can't have epinosis of what you guys do because that's your job. You can't have epinosis of barley because that's my job. But there's no excuse for not having epinosis of the Word because we've all got access to it. We've all got free access to it. We've all got our handhelds with Strongs, and we've all got internet with this teacher and that teacher. And you can go on Facebook and the website and listen to me till your little heart's content. And other Grace teachers are available. So that's how you get epinosis. It starts with head knowledge, but then moves on to heart knowledge and experiential knowledge. Yeah? And just in case you didn't get that in verse 2, he says it again in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who called us to glory and virtue? Jesus Christ. Epinosis knowledge of Jesus leads to us having everything, all things. I don't need to ask what's all. Nothing missed out. All things pertaining unto life and godliness. Life is the Greek word zoe, means God's kind of life. It's the same word used in John 10:10 for the life that Jesus came to bring us, abundant life. See, we're not supposed to just exist and live on this planet until, oh, hallelujah, the glorious day when I get to heaven. No, you can live that abundant life now. We should be living that abundant life now. If we're not living that abundant life now, it's a disservice to Jesus. Because he provided that for us. I came that you may have life abundantly. That's what he totally spoke about. A life full of abundance, health, prosperity, joy, peace, an amazing, a wonderful life. God gave us all we need for that kind of awesome life. But I'm not living that kind of life, Vic. Is it because God's holding something back? Is it because of something I've done? No. Is it because of something I'm doing? No. Is it because of something I'm planning to do? No, not even that. It's not something God has kept back from you if you're not living in that abundance. Godliness means godliness or holiness or without sin. Now, I already know we are holy, but this is talking about holy actions. This is talking about behaving like a saint. This is talking about not having sin in your life. So we can have this fantastic, abundant life with an absence of sin through the knowledge of him. Simple, isn't it? Absolutely simple. That talking about godliness there is talking about living a godly life. And that's what God wants. That's what I want as your pastor as well. I don't want anyone here living in sin. Some people think I excuse it, saying, you know, God's not bothered about it. Well, he's not in a sense. It doesn't affect him. But it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your family, your friends, your church. How did I get off on that? I don't know. Yeah, because I'm not trying to condone it or excuse sin. If we need to stop. And how we do that is by getting into the knowledge of him. Not by me standing up here berating you week after week, which I don't do very often. Hallelujah. Eh? That verse says we can have everything we need for Zoe life and a sin-free life through the knowledge of him. But Vic, I still have some sin in my life. What's that all about? Well, it's not about God having forgotten something. or willfully keeping things back from you. If you have, it's a knowledge issue. It's a knowledge issue. There's some knowledge you really don't fully understand. There's something you've not been taught. I mean, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Sometimes we just have pig-headed arrogance, and we believe something even though we know it's not really true, and we won't take teaching from someone else. There are issues like that. But a lot of the times, you don't know what you don't know. Got the wrong end of the stick. Had bad teaching. Blame the pastor. It is really possible to live an abundant life without sin. How is it possible? Well, look at the end of the verse. It's really easy. I've mentioned it heaps of times now. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge, epignosis, of Jesus Christ. See, living an abundant life, and I don't take this the wrong way, because there are times when these are issues, but not to the extent that people make them out in the church. The way to get rid of sin and the way to have an abundant life is not to cast out demons. And it's not for your pastor to come along and lay hands on you and sort everything. Now, that's not to say that that doesn't occur. But the vast majority of the time, the way to live in less sin is not to cut off soul ties and demons and things like that. It's to increase your knowledge about Jesus Christ and to see what the Word says. No, I'm not going to go there. Hallelujah. I'm going to stick to my message. Knowledge of Jesus is the key to everything. Who he was, where he came from, what he did, who we are in him, who we are through him, as a gift of grace through faith. That's what we need to know. That's the key. That's the knowledge that we need to be fully understanding, living in. Now, yes, there are times when we need to the move of the Spirit. We need to provide pictures. We need to speak into people's lives, speak over their lives. People sometimes do need to have oppression taken away from them. But the key, the main thing, the key, is understanding knowledge of Jesus Christ. But Vic, who was listening last week, you told us the key to stop sinning was to know we are righteous. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Remember, awake to righteousness and sin not. But yeah, you were made righteous as a gift of grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So you need to understand what Jesus has done. It's one and the same. Knowing that you're righteous is the same as having epignosis knowledge about Jesus Christ and what he's done. It's all about him. It all comes back to him. We need to have this knowledge of him and faith in what he's done. That's the key. That is why we set such an emphasis on teaching the Word of God here. Because your understanding of the Word of God, which is all about God and Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's the key to lasting and permanent change in your life. Renew your mind. Be transformed. How many butterflies go back to being caterpillars? None. The way to lasting, permanent change, metamorphosis, is through renewing your mind to the truths in the Word of God. It is as simple as that. This book, this inspired Word of God, is where you find this knowledge, and then you soak in it, you meditate in it, you sing it out, you read it, you study it, you speak about it. Once you understand it, you put it in place in your life. You get epignosis. You have that deep experiential knowledge of God and Jesus. That, I've said it again, is the key to positive and lasting change in your life. But that takes a long time, Vic. Yes. That takes effort, Vic. Yes. That means you can't come and just wave a magic wand over me and make it all better. No. Time. Time and effort. Do you want more health in your life? God, that was pathetic. I'll take that as a spiritual yes. Your spirits were screaming out to me. I heard you in the spirit. Do you want more help? Yes, well, increase your knowledge of God and Jesus. Do you want more prosperity?
Yes.
Well, what do you need to do, Sean? Increase your knowledge of God and Jesus. Do you want to feel more accepted from God? Increase your knowledge. Do you want to see more of those spiritual blessings that God has already provided for you manifest in your lives? Yes. Well, increase your knowledge of God and Jesus. Simple as that. We all want to see more health and prosperity. I mean, I met a really nice guy, a really nice pastor from the States recently, but he, in order to become a pastor, he had to give a vow of poverty. Show me that in the Word. No. Even worse than a vow of chastity. Amen. It's not in there either. But we'll not go there. We'll not go there. We all want more health and prosperity, and there must be something wrong with you if you don't want more joy and peace. Maybe it's just doctrine that's slightly wrong if you don't want more health and more prosperity. I'll give you that. But you are warped if you don't want more joy and more peace. Can we all agree on that one? Yeah. Amen. Well, this short passage should result in something from us. It should result in a desire to not want to put that down. Because that is how you get more peace, more joy, more acceptance, more health, more prosperity. That's how you multiply grace and peace. Do a strong search. Carl asked the right question last week. Do a strong search and see what it tells you to multiply grace and peace. Twice. Peter, knowledge. There, I've saved you. I've saved you hours of study. But like I always say, don't take my word for it. I don't trust him. I'm going to just check for myself. I bet you there's a few of you go back and count Paul's epistles this afternoon, by the way. Just want to get on that WhatsApp group. Actually, Vic, no. It should make us want to just get into the Word so much. And I'm on my soapbox again. I know, guys, but I can't help it. It is, I know, it's what's good for you. It's what's good for all of us. That 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3, if you've read that and don't think, I really want to get into the Word, you're just not getting the importance of it. Or you're not bothered about changing. I'll be blunt. If reading those passages and hearing my awesome exegesis of it, is that the right word?
Yeah.
My amazing study of this passage, which you can do in the English, it's not difficult, is it? If you don't really want to get into the Word more after hearing that, I don't know what I can do. You're either just not understanding the importance of the Word and how it can change your life, or you're not bothered about changing. No, that's down to everybody. I mean, I've listened to this type of message in the past and then just walked out the door and not read my Bible for another week. I know where some people are. I've been there. But I know in my life, my witness, my testimony is the more I am in the Word, the more I see grace and peace being manifest in my life. And I bet you if you ask my family, if the more Vic and Dad and Drowdy is in the Word, the more he is manifesting grace and peace. Now, a big amen for the second back row. I've seen my life change in quite big steps as I truly, really understand a big concept. Right, my life changed overnight when I understood I was righteous. Just changed. But most of my change is gradual over time. But I tell you, I can correlate it to my time in the Word and my understanding of the Word. I really can't. I know when I feel I'm not in the Word enough. And how things are going within me when I'm not in the Word. I know that. And the Word's the key. And how much we want this, how much we prepare to work, is down to us. Every single one of us. I was speaking to Nancy about this the other night. And we both kind of admitted that we'd been both been kind of out of the Word for a couple of days. It doesn't take long. Both been out of the Word for a couple of days. And it's not that we'd been gallivanting and doing sinful things. We were living life. We were working. We had family events. There was family up. We were doing ministry. Man, we even had a night out together. Hallelujah. We went to the cinema and Nunsy slept most of the way through it. But yeah, man, I enjoyed it. It was a good film. We were doing things. We had a night out. We were living our lives. But I'd felt this. I'd went to walk home with Nunsy and we were walking back and I just said, I'm just feeling a bit low just now. I'm just not feeling right. And I knew it was because I'd not been in the Word as much as I should have been, or as much as regularly as I was. I'd let other things kind of take over for a couple of days. And I knew there was something wrong. And Nunsy, bless her, said, yeah, what we need to do is incorporate the Word, incorporate Bible study into our lifestyle. And that really hit home. That really spoke to me. I'd been saying, well, yeah, we need to prioritize it and all that. And it's kind of the same. But in a sense, I really liked the way Nunsy had put it. It needs to be our lifestyle. And I thought, yeah, that's it. The Word, meditating on the Word, reading the Word, studying it needs to be a lifestyle choice. It needs to be a high priority lifestyle choice. The Word at the center of our very existence, a real lifestyle choice. One we prepared, a lot of us are not prepared to make. Because we've got so many other lifestyle choices. I mean, we talk about what we eat, what we drink, how we exercise or not, whether we smoke, drink, take drugs or whatever. They're lifestyle choices, yes? Yeah? And what do those lifestyle choices do? They impact on the quality of our lives, whether we exercise or not, whether we eat the right things or not, whether we use substances or not. It all impacts on the quality of our life. Those lifestyle choices. Yeah? My dad's side of the family, not great lifestyle choices. I don't have many aunts and uncles left. Lifestyle choices impacting the quality of people's lives. The length of people's lives. Guys, what we do with the Word is exactly the same, or it should be, as the way we think about exercise, substance abuse, food, whatever. It's a lifestyle choice, and how we choose to use the Word in our lives impacts directly on the quality or lack of quality in our lives. I think it's a really good picture, a really important concept. I've given Nunsy credit once. I'm having it now. I'm going to start talking about lifestyle choices when we're talking about the Word. You got credit once, that's it. What we do with the Word, how we use it, impacts directly on the quality of our lives. It's really, really important. The Word, reading the Word, meditating the Word, studying it needs to be a lifestyle choice. What we do with it, how we use it. I mean, I know there are many people in this fellowship who have a testimony that the more they get into the Word, the better things have become and things change. Positive things come out of studying the Word. These passages are very clear, but let me just be really quite challenging and turn this verse on its head. Look at it logically. Let's use it another way. Let's say we are not living in godliness in some area of our life. There's some area of our life where there's a sin that's got a hold of us and we're in bondage to it. What is this verse saying? This verse is saying that there's some area of our knowledge that is lacking. It's not saying we're oppressed by the devil. It's not saying we're weak. It's not saying we're a sinner. It's saying that there is some area of knowledge about God and Jesus Christ that we are weak in. That's all it's saying, guys. Don't like to use the word, but there's something that we're ignorant of. That just means you don't have the appropriate knowledge. There's something we're missing. If there's some area of our life that we're not as godly as we could be, for some issue got us in bondage, it's because there's some bit of knowledge that we don't have. And we're all in the same boat, guys. Don't, you know, come over all holier than thou on me. We don't want to condemn each other. We can help each other, but there's someone. That's a logical result of that verse. And if for some area of our life we were not living in abundance, be it healing or prosperity or peace or acceptance or joy or whatever, if there's some area in our life where it's just not quite manifest to the level that it should be, one issue, there's some lack of knowledge. Can you see that way around? If we have knowledge, we get it. If we've not got it, we don't have the knowledge. It's quite simple. If we're missing out on something, we can say without a shadow of a doubt, because the word says it, there's some bit of knowledge that we might have it up in here. Like me and 100% healing, I know it in my head. But someone just stopping me at the moment from that full 100% experiential. I've got gnosis, I need epinosis. And I think we're all in that kind of area. Like, because there's not one person here that doesn't know the word says you should be prosperous. There's not one person here that doesn't know the word says you should be healed. Not one person who doesn't know that God has accepted you. But we're not all living fully in it because it's not gone from the head to the heart. It's not experiential knowledge yet. It's not epinosis. There's something lacking there that we just don't have. Can you see that truth? Can you see how freeing it can be? This shouldn't be a condemning message. This is me not saying, you guys have not got some kind of knowledge. What I'm telling you is, find it. Find what that bit of knowledge is. Increase your knowledge. Get into the Word. Try and find out what it is. Get help from me. Get help from Nancy. Get help from the person sitting next to you. Get help from Joseph Prince's book. Get help from the internet. Wherever. Good grace teaching, by the way. Stick to grace teaching. But other grace teachers are available. It's a simple message. These passages are really clear. There is a direct correlation or relationship. You can write me a formula. You've got a maths higher. You can write a little form. There's a direct correlation or relationship between abundant life and godliness and our knowledge of the Word. As your knowledge of the Word, Jesus Christ and God, increases, our levels of grace and peace, our levels of godliness will increase. They have to. Oh, why did you say they have to, Vic? Because the Word says, and it's a spiritual law. You can't work against these spiritual laws. Can any of you speak out against gravity? Can you go to a tall building and say, I'm not going to believe in gravity today? No. In the same way at gravity, you can't counteract it in that sense. You can't counteract spiritual laws. If you increase your epinosis about God and the Lord Jesus through the study of the Bible, your abundant life will increase. Your peace will increase. Your godliness in terms of actions and behaviors will get better. It has to. It can't not, because it's a spiritual law that God has put in place, and we can't go against that. It's like I say, we can't have microwave Christianity. We can't microwave our ministries because it's first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Seed time and harvest. That's a law. We can't counteract these laws. So the great thing is, if we increase our epinosis, our knowledge of God and Jesus, things can only get better. There's another song I could have launched into, but I'm not. That's the way my mind works. It's all songs. It can't. See, this is not to condemn anyone, because you're all sitting there saying, "Oh, he's telling me I'm in sin again. He's talking about me not being 100% healing. He's having a go at me." No, he's not. He's just looking in a mirror and speaking out what's going on in my life. But I feel freed by this message. Absolutely freed, because I recognized if I'm in the Word, things go great. If I'm not so great. I've recognized if I increase the knowledge of my word, of the Word, I'll see more godliness, more peace, more prosperity, more abundance, more healing. That's why I'm saying, if you get this message and understand what I'm trying to say to you, it'll not be condemning, it'll be freeing, and you shouldn't be able to put your Bibles down. Oh man, it's quiet in here. So it's all down to me, Vic? Yes. Absolutely. I really want to help you. I've got hundreds of fantastic teachings that you can have. I'm an awesome teacher. But if you don't listen to them and meditate on them, they're not going to help you. I've got loads of books at home written by fantastic authors. I can give them to you. If you're not going to read them, not going to do you any good. I can encourage you to read the Bible. There's a Bible study on a Thursday night. There's a prayer meeting every month. There's going to be a big course in Lossie coming up very soon. There's lots of things out there to help you increase your knowledge. But I'm not going to bang on your door and drag you along. No. Not even if you give me permission to do it, I'm not. It's not my style. It's down to us. And I can recognize in my life when I'm out the Word. And guys, it's not nice. Sorry? It's annoying. Oh, yeah. No, I completely accept that. We are much nicer people to know when we're in the Word, because we're flowing in grace and peace. If we're not in the Word, we're not flowing in grace and peace. And we're bubbling out to something else. Hallelujah. So I'm quite humble here. I've written, this is not a message to condemn anyone. This is an amazing message. Not my message, but the message out of the Word. This is an amazing message. I want more healing in my life. Increase your knowledge. I want more prosperity in my life. Increase your knowledge. I need to feel accepted more. Increase your knowledge. I just haven't got enough joy in my life. Increase your knowledge. Now, I know it's the same message again and again and again. But guys, that's not my fault. The truth don't change. That wasn't very good English. The truth does not change. The answer is there for you, but now it's down to you. If you want to multiply grace and peace in your life, you need more epignosis of Jesus. Let's put it, you just need more of Jesus. Lyra encouraged us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look at him. Look to his face. And the way we see that is through the Word. How do we find out about Jesus? Through the Word. More of Jesus, more epinosis, that's the way to spread grace and peace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's another half a verse. Only 58 minutes and 48 seconds. That wasn't bad for two words. Yeah, hallelujah. Should we finish with a bit of worship, darling? Thank you.